And I thought maybe we'd go to Mark 5. We've been preaching through the gospel according to Mark and been working on that. One of my favorite stories, happenings in the life of the Lord Jesus. Brother Mike is in the opening of Mark chapter 5. We know that is the Lord encountering the one we call the maniac of Gadara. And buddy, you talk about an intense story. Amen. And we want to look at that. Not this morning, though. That's where I thought we was going. And then I thought we'd be on missions. Amen. Preaching about going beyond. And really feel led we'll probably do that this evening. And so I'm going with what's freshest and warmest on my heart back in Revelation 4. We started this in our time together, our Thanksgiving meal on last Sunday night, and got wound up, and amen, had a time, had a spell out there in the fellowship hall, and then we just cut it off and got to preach the whole message as best I could on Monday night over in Philadelphia, Tennessee, preaching in another service over there. And then carried it back over here Tuesday night. Got carried away again, Brother Jack. And amen, this thing just keeps growing. What a chapter. I think Revelation 4 and 5. Now, I understand there's no one part of the Word of God that's more important or greater than any other part. It's all the Word of God. It's all important. And we thank God for it all. But there are, you've heard me reference in my opinion now, that in the Word of God, there are what I call pinnacle passages. They're just passages that are, amen, they're grand mountaintops. And I think, amen, if I was to pick a handful of them out, amen, surely Revelation 4 and 5 would be in those pinnacle passages of the Word of God. And what a comfort they've been, challenge they've been, excitement they've been to the church and the people of God. Amen. For 2,000 years now, I'd like to been there. Amen. The first time John the Beloved sent it back them churches, the first time it was read aloud. Amen. Could you imagine what that had been like? Now we've heard it over and over and over. You think in Revelation 4, amen. You've heard it so many times. It's got old to you, but could you imagine hearing it read the very first time? Amen. Somebody said, hey, we've got a letter from John the Beloved here today. Somebody said, well, read that thing. Amen. And they began to read. By the time they get to Revelation 4, I imagine there's a squalling and pitching babies and running laps around the place. Amen. Saying, praise God, that's where I'm going to be. Amen. And so this morning, we want to look back at this. And I'll try not to belabor some of the stuff we've already covered. It'll be pertinent. There's several folk that are here today that we want to give some of that to so that they can follow along with us on where we're going. And I am a Baptist, so I can say this. It ain't ever hurt any of us Baptists to hear it again and over again. And we sure do. We sure do need that. I remember when I first come here, it's hard to believe that's been over 9 years ago. And first few months, of course, I knew of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. I knew that y'all was a great church, and I knew that y'all had a great pastor, Brother Wells. And I'll never forget, I've been here several months. I was talking with Brother Andy, and I said, Brother Andy, I said, Calvary's probably one of the strongest, now listen to what I'm going to say, one of the strongest Bible and doctrinal churches that I've ever preached in and been associated in. And I mean that. I mean that to this very day, just grounded in the Word of God. And I said to Brother Andy, that's a great, great testament to Preacher Wells and his preaching ministry throughout the years. And I'll never forget what Brother Andy said. He said, you know why? You know why? I said, tell me why. He said, 'cause Daddy never thought they got it. And so he just kept beating it in their head and beating it in their head and beating it in their head. And that works. Amen. Amen. You say, I don't know about that. Well, I'm an eyewitness that it's worked around here. And I think every now and then y'all get it. Some days I go home, I go, they didn't get it. I'm going to have to beat that drum again. And amen. So it ain't ever hurt us to hear it over and over again. And we don't want to be redundant, but amen. We do want us to get this. Revelation 4, let's stand together. Amen. Ain't you glad you saved still? Amen. Some of y'all are going to say amen before the service is out. Amen. Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face as of man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.
Amen.
Amen. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Amen.
Appreciate you standing this morning. You can be seated. Let's pray together for just a moment. We'll continue our thought of thanking him that sits on the throne. Heavenly Father, we come to you today knowing that in ourself dwelleth no good thing, knowing that without you we can do nothing, and Lord, surely we are nothing apart from the grace of God. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus, we beseech you for help and for mercy. Lord, for strength to do that you've called us to do and laid upon our heart to declare. Lord, we know this morning that, Lord, in this place, Lord, there are many, many needs and many situations that people find themselves in. Our hearts are heavy today, Lord, for the few that we know that have yet to be saved. Lord, no interest in the things of God, Lord, have yet to come to that saving knowledge, Lord, that only comes through faith and repentance of sin. And Lord, I pray this morning the Holy Ghost would do a drawing work in every heart of every young person, every father, mother, maybe a grandparent here today that is lost and undone. Lord, I pray that you get honor and glory by drawing them and by saving them by your mighty power. And then, Lord, for those of us who are saved, I know, Lord, there's many a folk with many heavy burdens upon their heart. Lord, I pray they would see the Lord, Lord, as we're going to see him. Lord, in days to come, may we realize the one we're going to see is the one who lives on the inside of us today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'd find our joy, we'd find our strength, we'd find our victory. Lord, that we would find, Lord, in him everything that we need today, that, Lord, we'd find it to the degree that, Lord, we'd not just look forward to a day we're going to thank you, but we'd thank you even now. Lord, all that you do, Lord, seen or unseen, we'll bless and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We understand that in Revelation 4 begins the revelation given to John the Beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ and the scene around His throne in glory. We understand that John has left that time of the church age, and the message given to the church in chapter 2 and in chapter number 3 is now called up into the heavenlies. He's now by the Spirit brought into this great scene. And immediately as he's there in the Spirit, the first thing that he sees is the throne of God and the Lord Jesus Christ in His rightful place upon the throne of heaven. We understand, as we have preached our way through many of these verses or several of these verses already, that this is one of those splendid scenes that John the Beloved is going to give us a glimpse into. Of all the things that is going on in glory, all the things that could have been talked about, John speaks of Christ being the Lord of glory, the one sitting upon the throne. We understand that as he makes his way there into heaven, he sees Christ and sees him upon the throne. He is very meticulous in how that he describes what heaven is doing around the throne. In fact, there are three what we call bestowments being given to Christ as he sits upon the throne of heaven. You find those in verse number 9, where the Bible said, "And when those beasts give glory," they give him glory. Glory is the first bestowment and gift of heaven to the one that sits upon the throne. Simply meaning praise arising from favorable opinion. They are expressing their favorable opinion for who Christ is to them. It deals with an excitement of admiration for the perfection and the majesty and even the excellence of the Lord Jesus Christ as they pull Him into view. They are stirred in their heart to say, "We want to give Him glory. And He is worthy and He is due, my friend, to receive glory." And then the Bible said, not only glory, but they give Him honor, give glory and honor. And the word honor simply means, without re-preaching everything, just in passing, I would remind you or say to some of you today, honor is to, amen, to give an estimation of one's value for something. In this particular case, they're expressing just how much Christ means to them. I believe this morning we ought to give Him honor for, amen, He is worth more than all the gold and all the silver and all, amen, the paper money that could ever be printed. Amen. Christ is worthy to be given honor. He is, my friend, the one worthy of glory and honor. But we're focused in on this third bestowment. As John said, they give Him glory and honor and thanks. And thanks. They're bestowing upon Him their gratitude. They're giving Him thanks. Amen. The word thanks here literally means grateful language as an act of worship. It is that audible, that audible sound, that audible expression of words put in. Amen. To meaning of expressing the gratitude and the gratefulness and, amen, the appreciation that one feels in their heart for the things that another has been to them or done for them. And I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to do a lot of things. We're going to serve them. And no doubt we'll have much fellowship one with another. We'll be known even as we're known. And heaven's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. I still believe this morning we don't even know a thimbleful of all that eternity holds that we will be a part of and be engaged in, amen, and be blessed by being there. Amen, but this much I know, we'll do nothing greater than what John said, amen, is taking place around the throne, and that is to simply thank the one amen, that sits upon the throne. Amen. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of honor. Amen. But may we be reminded today, He is worthy of giving thanks to. Amen. To express not just a grateful heart. Amen. Not a heart full of thanks, but a mouth full of thanks. Amen. We've quoted Buster Seaton as having said many, many years ago, I'd rather say thank you and not mean it than mean it and not say it. I believe this morning there is some. Amen. Truth may be even deeper than we would give that statement credit to. Amen. For we would emphasize, many would emphasize, well, I want to be real. I ain't going to say it if I don't mean it. Amen. You know, gratitude is something you can express even if you don't necessarily feel it. Amen. You know that it's right because, amen, whatever especially Christ has done for us, amen, that is far more than we are worthy of and deserve. Amen. And so we ought to give Him thanks. Amen. All of these bestowments are, amen, directed to Christ, the one who sits on the throne. Amen. They're not giving thanks to a politician. They're not giving thanks to, amen, some preacher or man of God or somebody that, amen, was big in their life. They, amen, are giving gratitude finally to the one that deserves it all, the one, amen, that has given us everything that we have. Amen. The one that is of greater value to you and I. Amen. Then we could even esteem Him to be today. Amen. They're giving their thanks to Christ. Amen. I'm not saying it's inappropriate. Amen. To thank other human beings and people in our life. Amen. Children ought to be thankful for parents, parents for children, and preachers for the church and the church for the preacher. Amen. We ought to express thanks anytime something good, amen, is received into our life from the hand of another. Amen. But if we're going to thank each other, you better good and well bless your heart. Amen. To thank the Lord God of glory, for the Bible said, at every good gift and every perfect gift, it cometh from above. Amen. That is, anytime somebody else has done something for you, and anytime somebody else has been something else to you, really that is a manifestation of the hand of God at work in your life. And so give Him glory, give Him honor, but don't forget to give Him thanks. And that's what has been emphasized, or should be emphasized. Amen. I understand every day, but in particular, the last week we've come through. Amen. It ought to be the fact that we're emphasizing what is emphasized in heaven, that is giving thanks to Him that sits on the throne. Amen. And so we're looking at this text, amen, in light of why are they thanking Christ? Amen. What do they have to be thankful have? And is there any relevance to that to you and to me today? I would say from the get-go, before we even embark upon it, amen, that everything they are thanking Him for in heaven and Revelation 4, amen, is what we have to be thankful for, amen, on this last Sunday of December 2022. Amen, that this is the one that, is to us today what He's going to be, amen, in days to come. And so why are they thanking Him that sits on the throne? Well, we preached it. We just barely, amen, did get into it last Sunday night. We preached it and hung up here bad on Tuesday. And I'm going to try. I am intentionally not going to get hung up here. Amen. But I got to say it because it's where all our gratitude stems from. I believe they're thanking Him in Revelation 4, Him that sits on the throne, for the salvation He has provided. it. Amen. We read as John receives this revelation, and it is Christ that is the center attention of all that is taking place in heaven. Amen. But you can't help but see Christ. Amen. Without seeing who is around Christ and what is what they are doing around Him. And so John said, I saw not only the throne, but, amen, I saw 24 seats around the throne. And the longer I watched, amen, there were 24 elders that took their place in those seats round about the throne. Amen. And we understand these 24 elders according to chapter number 5. And they are the blood-bought and washed, amen, those that have been saved by, amen, receiving what Christ did at Calvary. Amen. For it is this number, it is this band, amen, of elders that fall down in chapter number 5. And John said he heard them sing a new song. Amen. That new song, it involved Calvary. They said, amen, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou was slain. Amen, an indication. Boy, here I go. Amen, y'all pray for me, Brother Riley. I'm going to bog down again. Amen, you say, why you do that? Because I love to preach on Calvary. I love to tell you and remind myself and the devil, amen, what Jesus did to save my soul. Amen. They said, we know that you're the one that was slain. Amen. You're the one that walked up on Calvary's hill, carrying an old rugged cross on your back. Amen. And thou was slain. You're the one, John the Baptist said, amen, was the Lamb of God sent to take away the sin of the world. Amen. They are singing the song and the anthem of our redemption. Amen. Thou was slain and hast redeemed us, amen, to God by thy blood. Amen. Ain't you glad he shed his blood? Ain't you glad he gave every drop, amen, to provide eternal salvation, amen, for all that would come to God by Christ, amen, believing in him, repenting of their sin, that, amen, there would be, amen, a new song sung one day, and we are the redeemed, we are, amen, the ones that he has given salvation to. Amen, that's shouting ground right there. And so when John in Revelation 4, amen, when we see these 24 elders, amen, join in with the four beasts, we'll deal with them in a moment, amen, and began to give glory and honor and thanks. Amen, I believe in that moment of time, and Brother Maurice, there is a setting in upon their thoughts. We realize we wouldn't be where we are. Amen. We wouldn't have what our soul has found had it not been for the one that's on the throne. Amen. Oh, I ain't going to preach it. I'm just going to tell it to you. Amen. This salvation that he provided, amen, reveals that he saved them from the past. Amen. They sung that new song. It's redeemed us to God by thy blood. And I'm falling in love with these next two words in the Word of God. Amen. Since I begun this study, out of. Amen. Redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of. Amen. That speaks of the past. Amen. We're not where we used to be. Amen. We're not identified where we once was identified. Amen. You saved us and provided salvation. Amen. That got us out of a past, out of a condition, amen, out of somewhere when we had no hope. And look at us now, amen, we thank you for the salvation you have provided. Saved from a past, saved, amen, to a place. Amen, he has provided a place for them. Amen, I'm glad when I got saved. Amen, I was put in Christ. Christ was put in me. Amen, I am right now, according to Apostle Paul. Amen. Now this will blow your, amen, your Adamic mind this morning. Amen. But right now, if you're saved, amen, physically, you're sitting on the padded pews in the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Amen. But spiritually, Paul's saying we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when I got saved to a place. Amen. I found a seat round His throne. Amen. He found His seat in my heart. Amen. I'm glad I was saved to a place. I won't run that rabbit again this morning, but amen, saved for a purpose. Amen. We've been saved out of some things, but amen, they sing and it's made us unto our God, kings and priests. And we shall reign, amen, we shall reign on the earth. Amen, and so they've been saved for a purpose. Ain't you glad when God saved us?
Amen.
Amen. Most of us, we didn't know what our purpose was in life. Amen. We didn't know if there's anything worth living for. Amen. But we found it when we met the one who provided salvation. Amen. I'm glad I've got a purpose today. Amen. And we've been saved from a punishment. Amen. This crowd's already got their place around the throne of God. Amen. There is judgment that is to come and begin in chapter number 6. Amen. The wrath of the Lamb will be poured out upon all the ungodly, but for what Paul said was all their ungodly deeds. Amen. But in Revelation 4, they have experienced that. That aspect of salvation, amen, that Paul wrote about, God had not appointed us unto wrath to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, I'm glad, amen, there is something coming to this world, amen, that I will never know anything about. Amen, I'll never know anything. I'll never know, amen, the wrath of the Lamb. Amen, for we that have been saved, amen, are being saved from the power of sin. And one of these days we'll be saved from all of this. Amen, when the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Tell you why they're thinking it. Amen. Because they know they deserve, amen, in and of themselves what is to come. Amen. But in salvation's plan, amen, Christ has provided, amen, a means of escape. Amen. And so today, really what we're saying is, if you're saved, amen, you have something to be thankful for. Amen. Why, some of you that are thankless today, amen, some of you are so ungrateful, your life can be characterized. Amen. You can be given the name ingrate. It ain't no wonder you ain't got anything to thank Him for. Amen. You've never seen yourself as unworthy. You've never seen yourself as being a sinner. Amen. But those of us, bless your heart, amen, that have, amen, and did not count the gospel to be beneath us, amen, we understand it. And He has given us something, amen, we did not deserve it. Amen. And we thank Him today because He has provided a wonderful salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I done asked you 4 times today if you're glad you're saved. Amen. Some of you look like you're waking up. Amen. And you're about to be glad about it. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I'm glad I know I'm saved forever. I'm glad I know what Jesus did for me. Glory to God. Amen. Well, let's move on into the text. That's verses 1-4. Amen. You say you done preach 2 services. All you got is 4 verses. Amen. I was going to try to get 5-11, but that ain't looking good. Amen. Right now. But let's see what we can do with it. All right. Amen. We see that they are, amen, thanking Him that sits on the throne for the salvation He has provided. But verses 5-8, they are thanking Him for the examination He has passed. The examination He has passed. You say, preacher, are you going to have to explain that? Well, look in the text. John the Beloved said, let me tell you what I saw the longer I looked. He said, I not only saw the one that saw the throne and the one that sat on the throne. I seen a rainbow round about him like an emerald. I seen 24 elders sitting in their seats. And, amen. He said, I began to look on it. And all of a sudden he begins to describe, amen, I don't know what they are. He calls them beasts. I take that maybe to mean in my mind that they're some sort of angelic creature, amen, that John has never laid eyes on before. Amen. He begins to describe them, and I'm not so interested in their description as I am what they're doing. Now, one of the things, now they've got some differences among them, but John also deals with some similarities. All four beasts had six wings and did fly. All four beasts, the Bible said, amen, look there with me in the text again, if you will. Amen, he said in verse number 6, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts. Notice here's a similarity. All of them were full of eyes before and behind. Amen. So get this in your mind. They all have six wings. They all have eyes everywhere looking before. They all have eyes everywhere looking behind. Amen. They can see coming. Oh, hallelujah. They can see going. They can see my friend what's out there. They can see my friend what is before, and they can see what is behind. Amen. And then John points out another similarity. Amen. Not only are they full of eyes before and behind, they all have six wings. But he said in verse number 8, and they were full of eyes within. These angelic creatures, we'll use John's term, these beasts. He said they got eyes everywhere. Amen. They got eyes for before, eyes for behind. And then they've got these eyes that evidently are on the inside within their wings. And so, if you can imagine this, amen. Every time they open their wings to fly, amen, them eyes take a picture. And every time them wings close back in, amen, it is a description, amen, of them pulling in and perceiving, amen, that their eyes have just taken it. And so imagine this, all they do night and day, amen, is fly around the throne and stare at the one who is on the throne. They're pulling him in. They fly around and at every angle, amen, in every way that you can view him, they, amen, they examine him, they look upon him, amen, they open themselves up, they, amen, take in what they just saw, they meditate on it, they, amen, within and without, before and behind, amen, they have a very, how do we word this? Amen. They have a very up close and personal examination of the one sitting on the throne. Amen. 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 Now what I'm interested in is what they find as they examine him night and day forever and ever. What do they see? What do they come to know about the one that they're looking at? Amen. Number one, let me say, they say as they examine him and as he passes their examination, their first testimony is, we want to testify he is the perfect one. Amen. Brother Tim, here's what they said. Amen. They said, holy, holy, holy. Amen. One answers back to another. Yeah, he's holy over here again. Amen. Another said, when he's holy on this side. Amen. One said, when he's holy before. And another said, he's been holy behind. Yeah. Amen. One says, I just took him in again. I just took another picture and I examined him. And I want to say, amen, he is holy, holy, holy. They are testifying that he has passed their examination. He is the perfect one. Boy, I'm glad the one that sits on the throne is the perfect one. I'm going to tell you what causes some folk to lose their, amen, their thankfulness and become unthankful. Amen, you get your eyes on a bunch of imperfect people and you'll see how they've let you down and how they've done you wrong. Yeah. Amen, you're looking at the wrong place. You're looking to the wrong scene. You are looking to the wrong one. Amen, them angels, them beasts, they say, we want to go on record. We have looked at him from every angle. We've looked at what he's going to be and what he's been. And we determine he is the perfect one. I'm glad today I can thank him not just for what he's done, but for who he is. Amen. Amen. I ain't ever been perfect a day in my life. And I ain't, by the way, I ain't known any of y'all to be perfect a day I've known. We are flawed. Amen. In many days we are greatly flawed. Amen. Amen. My friend, I'm convinced that, amen, we put others and ourselves up on pedestals that, amen, we, my friend, are not deserving of. Amen. For the truth of the matter is, you let, amen, you let four other fallen men follow us around. Amen. For just a day, they'll be able to say, well, there's a flaw. And, amen, there's something that ain't exactly holy yet. And there's something that, amen, is not exactly right. And, amen, it would just take four fallen men with two eyes to follow us around. Amen, and to find the flaws in our life. Do you understand these? Amen, these beasts, amen, they've got more than two eyes. There's eyes everywhere. They have been created for the purpose of just examining the Lamb, examining the one that's on the throne. Amen. And from every angle, he passes the test. There is no fault in him, Pilate said. Even wicked Herod, when he thought, amen, he would make Christ a jester, amen, he would do some tricks for him, amen, be his magician for a moment, amen, when Christ never answered him a word, amen, Herod himself sent him back to Pilate and said, I don't know anything this man has done, amen, to be worthy of death. You know what Herod was testified? Amen, this is a holy man, amen. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Amen. That centurion soldier, amen, when he felt the earthquake, my friend, when Christ laid down his life in Calvary and thrust in the spear into his side, amen, when the blood and the water ran down upon his hands, amen, he testified, truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad today, amen, the one on the throne that, and I know he has passed the examination. He's the perfect one. He ain't ever done me wrong. He ain't, my friend, ever sinned against me. Oh, I didn't say I'd never sinned against him. Amen. I've done that plenty of times, and I, amen, bow my unworthy head. I'm ashamed to even have to admit it. Amen. But he has never sinned against me. He's never done me wrong. Amen. He's led in a way that is perfect. Amen. He's ordered my steps. He has directed my life. Amen. I can trust him because he is the perfect one. Amen. Amen. Somebody ought to be thankful for that today. Amen. Ain't you glad he's perfect? Ain't you glad we serve a perfect God? Amen. He ain't like, amen, the prophet Muhammad, who was, amen, a pedophile and a whoremonger. Amen. A wicked, vile, murdering man. Oh no, the one that my friend is on the throne of glory. He is perfect. He is holy, holy, holy. Amen. He's passed that examination. Amen. Amen. He's never spoken, amen, a sinful word. He's never done a wicked deed. Somebody ought to help me preach. Amen. Amen. How do you know that? Because, amen, them beasts said, we've looked at him every which way. We've heard everything that's come out of his mouth. We have a unique angle at looking at him. We just want to go on record for all of heaven to hear. He is the perfect one. Amen. And today, if you'll examine Christ in your life, look behind you. Look around you. Amen. Look at the way that he's leading your life. You know what I think you'll be able to thank him for? He is the perfect one. Amen. Amen. Number two, he's not only the perfect one. Some of y'all probably done ahead of me, but he is the powerful one. Oh, I'm about to preach for sure right here. They said, holy, holy, holy. Now notice what they say, Brother A.L. Lord God Almighty. In other words, we've flown around here night and day since we've been created. We've looked at him in every light, in every facet, and from every angle. And we determine there is no weakness in him. Amen. You see, he's the perfect one. There is no sin in him. And he is the powerful one. There is no weakness in him. He is Lord God Almighty. He is the Almighty God. Amen. Why, you just ask any of the old saints throughout the Word of God. Amen. Tell me, is he powerful enough, amen, to get you through it? And Moses and Israel say he's Almighty and got us through the Red Sea. Amen. All you ask Joshua, he'll say he's the Almighty. Amen. He's the captain of our salvation and the conqueror of the promised land. Amen. You ask my friend, amen, David, he'll say, oh yes. Amen. When I was just a little old strapping of a boy, amen, with a sling and a stone, and in the name of the Lord, giants fall. He is a Lord God Almighty. Over and over and over, the saints of God testify. He's the powerful one. We're weak. We get weary. We require sleep and slumber. But he's the one who never gets tired. Amen. He's the one that, amen, has never had a weary moment. He's the one that's never, my friend, encountered, amen, some sort of situation and scratched his head and thought, I don't know if I can deal with this today or not. Oh no, friend, he is the powerful one. Amen. I'm glad I know who he is. I thought about this declaration, Brother Mike, and they make of him, he is Lord God Almighty. Let's use the law of first mention, amen, for this. Amen. Brother Bob, I think you'll get this, you'll enjoy this. The first time that Christ is revealed as the Almighty is in the life of Abraham. My mind serves me right, it's Genesis 17. Now Abram was not really a young man when he was called out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. Amen. Wasn't he like 70 something years old? Amen. And he's called out and he leaves and he forsakes and God gives him a promise. Amen. In Genesis 17, Abraham is 99 years old. More than 20 years, almost 25 years have gone by. Amen. Since God gave the initial promise that Abraham was going to receive a promised son. And Abraham got weak in that covenant and in that promise. And Abraham, in his weakness, made some some bad choices. Amen. Went some places he should have never went, and told some lies he should have never told. And engaged in some family planning that he should have never engaged in. Somebody help me. Abraham failed in every way because of his weakness to the covenant God had made with him. Now it looks like he's beat and banged and floundered around for 25 years. And it ain't going to happen. But Genesis 17, the Bible said the Lord appeared unto Abram. Now here's what he said. I am the Lord God Almighty. First time you'll find Christ, and you say, well, that ain't Christ. Christ is New Testament. Christ is every Testament. Amen. Amen. I ain't got time to run that rabbit. Amen. But he was revealed. He revealed himself as the Lord God Almighty. In other words, Abram, you've got yourself in a mess. Abraham, time is not on your side. Abraham, genetics and age is seemingly caught up with you. And, amen, it would have been hard even 25 years ago, but now it is a near impossibility. Amen, it is scientifically impossible for you to have a son.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Your wife's done got old and y'all been floundering around, and in your weakness, there is no way. But Genesis 17, Almighty God says, I want you to know who I am. And it may seem like you're too weak to bring this to pass. And Abram, it may seem like, amen, everything is against you, but don't rule out who I am. I am the powerful one. Say, so what happened 9 months later? Amen, Sarah, amen, was having Isaac, and Abram was holding him. It, amen, holding God's promise in his hand. Amen, not because Abram was strong. Abram proved over and over and over. Amen, his own weakness was great at times. God was the powerful one. Now, I just want to go on record today and say, how many times have you been weak, but God has been strong in your life? Amen. I know I'm an independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist. Amen. And we're supposed to be real judgmental about everything and everybody. But let me just say this morning, there ain't a one of us that hasn't failed. Some of you today, you're beating yourself up. You have become, reached a place where you've lost your gratitude, and grateful language is not a part of your vocabulary anymore. Amen. Because you have been weak. Others around you have been weak. And in that weakness and being, around weak people, you feel like there is no way. But I'm telling you this morning, He's the powerful one. He is Almighty God. He is the one that can help you and strengthen you along the way. You're not here today because you're strong. Amen. And I understand what we say. I'm only going to get this one preached out. I'm going to let you go in a minute. Amen. Number three is real good, ain't it, Jesse? Jesse done heard all this. Amen. Sometimes we use terminology like so-and-so. They are a strong Christian. Come on now. We'll lift people up. And if we're not careful what we do when we do that, we put people in a place where we even discourage our own life, saying, well, I could never be that because they're so strong and I'm so weak. I'm not talking about avoiding giving people honor. There are people I have said and will say, yeah, they're strong Christians. But they're not strong because they're strong. They're strong because in their weaknesses, they learned where their strength comes from. And if you have learned that, or y'all listening, y'all better let this sink in. I know I'm winding down, I ain't screaming, but it ought to pierce our heart. Brother Larry, when we can realize in our weakness, we can receive strength from Him. That ought to cause every one of us to fall on our face and say, Lord, I can't help but thank You. I'm not where I am today because I'm so great. I'm not here because I am mighty, much less almighty, but I am here today because I've examined my life. And one thing that is true from beginning of where my spiritual life began to where, as far as I can see where it end, amen, in glory throughout all eternity is this, that You are the Almighty God. Amen. It's by Your power and by Your strength and by Your keeping Your word that I can stand.
Amen.
Amen. You better let that sink in. Amen. Anybody need to thank Him for that today? Thank Him. He's the powerful one. He's passed that examination. Thank Him. He is the perfect one. Number three, and I'll end here. They said, holy, holy, holy. They're looking at Him now. They're taking Him into view. They say, Lord God Almighty, He is perfect and He is powerful. But notice He is the perpetual one, for they declare which was, and is, and is to come. Amen. In other words, He's always been around, He's still around, and we got eyes we can see way out there before us. As far as we can see, He's still out there. Amen. Moses said to the Lord when God called him at the burning bush to go back to Egypt and set the people of God free. He said, they ain't going to believe. They ain't going to believe me. Who do I tell them sent me? And God said, you tell them I am sent you. You just tell them I am. That'll be enough. They'll know who I am if you say I am. Amen. There ain't a doubt about who sent you.
Amen.
Jesus in His earthly life was being challenged by the religious elite of His day concerning the authority of His ministry. They were bragging about Abraham being their father, and Jesus looked at them in their God-given eyeballs and said, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
Testifying that He had always been. John the Beloved declared of Him, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Amen. My friend, Christ has always been. He is the one who is the perpetual one. Amen. He is, not the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the one declared through the prophets to be. Amen. The one who changes not. Amen. He is and He was and He is. And He ever shall be everything that He is. And now, what do we have to be thankful for concerning this? It is the fact that we can rest assured that He ain't a fickle Savior. He is the same. I can get up this morning and know He is the same as He's always been.
Amen.
He's not changed His mind.
Amen.
Say about what? About anything.
Amen.
Ain't changed His mind about how much He loves me.
Right.
He ain't changed His mind about bringing me to where He is one day.
Right.
Amen. He ain't changed His mind about the rapture and the blessed hope that we have. He ain't changed His mind about redemption's plan. Amen. Are y'all listening? One who is the perpetual one, the one who is consistently the same. Amen. Boy, we're prone to wander. We're prone to be different. Time makes us different. Circumstances make us different. And situations changes our mind, and sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. But He ain't ever changed His mind. He ain't ever changed who He is, and He's never going to. There is something about that in a day and an age of change. Now, I don't want to get mean here, but amen, we're going to say some truth. We're living in a world that's changing faster than we can keep up with.
Amen.
I ain't that old. I remember, man, just things that are commonly accepted and you're even ridiculed if you don't accept it now, that we used to scorn and scowl at and condemn when I was a young fella.
Amen.
If you was, amen, one of these transgendered people when I was coming up, I mean, they thought you had at best some sort of mental challenge. Yeah. You say, oh, that's mean. Well, before you criticize me, that was in the medical books and is still in the medical books to this day. Gender euphoria. It's a mental disease. Now, we know there's more to it than that, but that's best case scenario. Amen. Now they praise them.
Right.
Amen.
People with mental illness, and they're praising them as though they're doing some grand and glorious thing. Who would have ever thought that would have ever changed?
Amen.
Amen. You say, I ain't come to hear all this. Well, you done heard it. Change is going on every hand.
Amen.
Things that at one time even the world took moral stands against,
Amen.
The world now embraces and promotes and pushes on our young folk.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But can I say there is something comforting to my heart in a world that is given to change, that I have one who never changes.
Amen.
You know what the Bible said? Bible said, "Meddle not. Don't interweave your life to a man that is given to change."
Amen.
Given to change. That don't mean there aren't changes, but if he's always changing them,
right?
What way's the wind blowing?
Yep.
The Bible said, "Don't meddle with somebody like that."
Amen.
I'm glad when it comes to my God, I ain't meddled my life to a God that's been given to change. He is the same yesterday,
Amen.
Today. Them four beasts said, boy, we've looked at him every way. We can't find any inconsistency in him.
Amen.
No change. He's the same as he's always been.
Yes, sir.
They look at him again and they say, far as we can tell, they ain't even a leaning toward a change in days to come.
Amen.
I'm glad I know the perpetual one. Somebody ought to thank him today. Amen. Well, the salvation he provided, the examination he passed, I'm not preaching the last one. I may never preach it. You just never know. Oh, yeah, I'm going to preach it. All right.
Amen.
There's the coronation that he presents.
Amen.
And I want to deal with that word worthy if God will let me. Some other time, I don't know when, amen, but you'll just have to keep coming back if you want to hear it, amen. It may be a while, it may not be a while, but I'm glad I've got somebody that I can give thanks. I found somebody worthy of my worship and my gratitude. Do you know him today? Do you know the one that I have preached to you about? I know I've gone a little long. It's just now 12, so we're okay. Do you know the one that I preached about today? Do you really know him?
Amen.
Do you know him as being your savior of your life?
Amen.
Do you know him as proving himself in your life to be perfect, powerful, and ever the same? If you know him that way, when's the last time you just got down and said, Lord, I got to thank you. You know what I'm thankful for, Brother Jack, Brother Larry? You know what I'm thankful for? Concerning what I've just preached in verses 5 through 8. Now, I know what they are magnifying, that does bleed into some of what He does in our life, but it's about who He is, not necessarily what He does. Now, who He is affects what He does, but here's the thing, I don't always see what He's doing in my life. But I can always see Him as He is. So it doesn't really matter how things are going in my health, in my family, in the church, on the job, whatever it may be. It really doesn't matter if I just focus in on who He is. I can maintain an attitude of gratitude and thank Him that sits on the throne. Do you know Him that way today? Let's stand together.